Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are our living hope, Lord, that we trust in you, Lord, that you are our healer. Lord, you are the one who come to save us from our sins, Lord, that we ask that we just put our hope and our trust in you this morning, Lord, as we go through the remainder of this service, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move on people's lives, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you just bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We do have a children's church, so if you'd like to go to that, if you'll just follow Miss Rita, and she'll take you back there and lead you in a word of God.
Boy, it's been a good week that we have that we asked the Lord to bless us, and we've been praying about Vacation Bible School since January, February, you know, and the Lord really blessed us in that. And we appreciate the prayers, the church's prayers for Vacation Bible School, because prayer works. Prayer has always worked and will always work. You know, we are to ask God, and God will deliver. And he did deliver this week at VBS. Last night we took some to Spartman to the pre-camp rally. And we just seen what the Lord's going to do at church camp this year also, you know, at the end of this month. It's just going to be a blessing. Brother Nick Stringfellow, he led worship last night. You know, he just did a phenomenal job, and the Lord just really blessed him, and I look forward to it. And I pray, you know, just like you prayed for VBS, we've been asking you to pray for church camp too. Hey, we have 2 weeks from tomorrow. We got this week, next week, and then church camp. I want you to blow the Lord up with prayers for church camp, that the Lord would do a mighty work, because we know that he is able. We know that he desires that lost souls come to know Jesus. He desires that people would come to Jesus and that they would grow in their relationship with him. So, you know, we know that that is God's will within this. So I just ask that you would pray that people's hearts would be open to the gospel, that people's hearts would be open to receiving him and growing in him. And that's not just for church camp. I pray, you know, just like we talked about last week, that we would have an encounter with God, and that encounter would transform our lives. And that's what we are continuing in that today. We're going to be in Psalm 24. So Psalm 24, you can go over there, go ahead and turn to that. We know that, you know, we know Psalm 23, that's probably one of the most popular psalm that there is out there, you know, that we read quite often. We read it at funerals, we read it, you know, in church. You know, it's just a beautiful psalm that David wrote, but Psalm 34 is just as beautiful. And we see that God desires for us to have an encounter with him, but within that encounter, he wants us to follow him. He wants us to abide by his commandments. So whenever we have that encounter with Jesus, it should change our hearts to desire to live for him. And that's something that we all need, and this world can just pull us off track if we will allow it to. But Jesus is more powerful than this world in which we live in. Jesus is all powerful. So we can call out to his name, and we can worship him, and we can thank him for us having an encounter with him. And this is something that I desire on a daily basis. I want to have an encounter with Jesus each and every day. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with Him. I want to be with Him in my life. And that does not mean that I have to sit here at the church all week at the altar to have an encounter with God. We can have an encounter with God wherever we are at. We can desire to follow Him. And just like I was thinking about the last night of VBS, Friday night, where we had, talking about depression and anxiety and all that. What does He tell us to do that's a remedy to that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God. Folks, if we will seek God, man, things will be transformed within our lives. And I'm not one to sit here and tell you, I've never been one to sit here and tell you that all of our problems are going to disappear whenever we get saved or whenever we live for Christ. Our problems are probably going to get rougher. Why? Because Satan does not like us following after God. But I tell you, greater is He who is in me than he who lives in the world. That God is in us and He lives in us and He loves us and He is greater than Satan. He will walk through us, walk with us through the troubles of life. But I'm going to get to meddling in my own life. So I'm here. A lot of times we put ourselves in the trouble that we get ourselves in. We want to blame it on the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. Man, the devil ain't made you do nothing. You did that on your own. We need to seek His face. So what we're looking at is not doing the desires of the flesh, but doing the things of the Spirit that live inside of us. And it will transform our lives and we will be different than who we used to be. Man, God wants to do something in your life today. Not tomorrow necessarily, not the next day. He has you here today for a purpose, for you, for Him to do something in your life. We just have to surrender to Him and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I remember Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, a beautiful passage there. Whenever the Lord is, when Isaiah is speaking to the Lord and Isaiah and the Lord calls out, who will I send? And Isaiah says, send me. Will that be us today? Lord, send me. I will go. I don't know all the answers. I don't know what I'm doing. But Lord, I'm going to depend upon You because I had an encounter with You. And I'm just going to step out in faith. And I am going to follow after You and do what You have asked me to do. Is it scary? Yes. But as I've always said, does faith or fear control you? Because we all have both of them. We all have fears in life. We all have things that will kind of hold us back. But we ask the question, and the Lord asks us the question is, who will let faith carry on in their life? Who will let faith drive you to do what you are supposed to do for Him? Because God has something big, something big. Something bigger than we are to do. And He sends us to do it. If we will step out in faith and just go. And we will leave the consequences, as Charles Stanley always says, do what God asks you and leave the consequences up to Him. We just do what God tells us. Not what I want, not what I manufacture in my mind. It's when I get in God's Word and He shows me what He wants me to do. He puts it on my heart. He will not leave me alone about it, and it lines up with God's Word. Folks, we are to go out and to do it because God has invited us to have an encounter with Him and to walk with Him through our life. And kind of corny, but you say, the results are out of this world. if we will but follow Jesus. Because we shouldn't live for the treasures of this world. We should live for the treasures of heaven. And the treasures of heaven are worth so much more than that of this world. Because what is it, you know, the book of, or the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about what will metal and what will things that you have, what will they do? They will rust away. People break in and steal. Man, the things, you know, that we have, you can take a dollar bill, set it up here, and stick a match to it, and guess what? It's gone. But there's nothing, nothing that can take my salvation, because God gave it to me. I did not earn it. I did not do anything to deserve it. God gave it to me freely. Let's get into Psalm 24. Y'all there yet? Because I'm going to have to read out of here, because somewhere, for some reason, my printer didn't print all of my verses this morning when I printed it out. So open up your Bible. Mine's on page 766. That ain't what page y'all's is going to be on. I'm sorry, but it just don't work that way. Because I've got the old man Bible. It's the giant print, so it takes more pages to get it there. So Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor swore deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face. Lift up your head, O you gates, and lift up, you know, to the everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Lord, we just come before you, Lord, just thanking you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord, your blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for each and every child that came this last week to Vacation Bible School, Lord, that you would plant within their heart, Lord, your love. Lord, in each worker, Lord, and each person that was here, Lord, we just thank you for them, Lord, and all the time that they invested in your kingdom work, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all that you have done for us in our lives. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, you know, the invitation to encounter God, you know, and that's what God desires for us. We know it by recognizing His sovereignty, that our God is sovereign in our life. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. You know who that includes? Me and you. Folks, we belong to the Lord. He has created us. We have to recognize His sovereignty, His control, His power within this world that we live in. Folks, I have my hope. We just sang this song. You know, I have my eternal hope put on Christ and what He has said in His Word, and that He is going to do what He said He was going to do, because God is sovereign. God is not going to go back on His promises. God is always going to fulfill what He says in His Word. And you can take that to the bank. You can cash that check. You can do whatever you want. But God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And it's just like in the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? Noah was in there building a boat in the desert. And they looked at Noah and told him, "Boy, you are crazy. What are you doing building a boat out here in the middle of nowhere?" And things were just getting worse and worse and worse in the world. Oh, does that sound familiar? Boy, I tell you, today things are getting worse and worse and worse within our world that we live in. And that's what was happening in the days of Noah. But Noah was faithful to God that he would sit, that he would do what God had asked him to do. You think Noah ever built a boat? No, Noah ain't never built a boat. Noah was out in the middle of nowhere. Noah didn't know what a boat was, probably. He's like, "Man, Lord, what is this you're telling me to build?" But he did. He built it. And he did it to the specifications that God asked him to do. And he started gathering all the animals up that God had asked him to do. And what happened? Then people would probably look at him like, "Noah, what in the world are you doing? You listened to your God and he asked you to build a boat, and now you're going out getting all these animals. Noah, you are crazy." And that's what the world is telling us today, that people that follow God, that you are crazy. Why are you following him? As because he does not exist. You don't, people don't think that, folks, but I can see it. You just step out these doors. You just look around you. And you tell me that there is not a creator, that God is not real, that God is not sovereign. And what happened to Noah? He got all the animals on the boat, and boy, he was preaching. He was trying to get them to come to the Lord, but they would just reject. "We don't need God. We got everything under control. We're going to do whatever we want to do in our lives. We're just going to live sinful. We're just going to do what we want to do, because whenever we die, we're just going to be graveyard dead, and we ain't going to worry about anything else." But they found that out the hard way, that that is not true. Whenever Noah closed the boat, the door. Did Noah close the door? No, God closed the door. And what happened? And people started thinking like, "Man, we ain't never seen it rain here before. What is all this? Water from the sky, from the earth." But it was too late. Because God said what he was going to do, but people did not believe. Our God is sovereign, and he tells us today in his word that he's going to return again. And those who have put their trust and their faith in him, the ones whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they will be saved and that they will go to heaven to live with him. And the others will go to destruction. Sound familiar? Noah's day, the ones who did not trust in God, they perished in the sea. But the ones who were in the ark were saved. And I would ask you today, are you in Christ? Because them are the only ones that are going to be saved from the destruction to come. Is the ones who are in Christ, the ones who have put their faith and their trust in him, the sovereign God. Are we recognizing his sovereignty, that he is going to do what he says he's going to do? Do we fear God? And I think that's a lack, or something that the church today lacks, is a fear of God. God is all powerful. God is the one who created the universe. And we look at him like he is our buddy, buddy, old pal. He is God Almighty. And he can do what he desires. And we look at him like, "Oh, he ain't gonna send me to hell. You know, I've been good enough. You know, I'm just a good old country boy." It ain't got nothing to be with being good enough. Because there's one thing about every person in this room, we are, none of us are good enough. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. Not because I've done enough good deeds, and I talked about this, you know, a little bit last week, or mentioned this, you know, about philanthropists. Oh, I haven't got it this week. Philanthropists, you know, these people that love to give, and they say, oh, look what all we do. We give to foreign countries and we give to those here. That's great, but that's not going to get you to heaven. That is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is Jesus Christ and His sovereignty. He is sovereign in His life. In verse 3, it talks about, you know, understanding our need for Him. Well, we have a great, great need for the Lord. Well, it said, he who ascends into the hills of the Lord, or who may ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place. Who may do that? We need to understand that we need that within our lives. We need to be able to stand before the Lord. And I tell you, this is good stuff right here now. Back in the Old Testament, there was a high priest that went into the Holy of Holies that would take our offering, take the offering of the people in there, because they could not, the people outside could not stand before God. But what happened when Jesus died on the cross? Y'all remember what happened? The veil was torn. The veil to the Holy of Holies was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And what that signifies is that now we can go directly to God. And I tell you that we need to, in our lives, we need to recognize that God is not a God that is afar off. God is right here. We can turn to Him at any time within our lives, and we need to recognize our need for Him. We need Him. We can't do this on our own. We can't save ourselves. Only God can do that. Because I am a wretched sinner that is saved by grace. What is grace? I got something that I did not receive. That I did not deserve, did I? And that was Jesus. He did that for me. So we need to understand our need for Him. We cannot do this on our own. In the book of Romans, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's every person in this room. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are, how much you've been raised in church your whole life. There is not a person in this room that is not a sinner. Not one person. Outside the doors of this church, there is not one person that is not a sinner. There has been only one that walked this earth that was not a sinner. And His name was Jesus. And He died on the cross for our sins, and we need to recognize our need for Him. But we also need to prepare our hearts for His presence. In verse 4, it says, "And he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor swore deceitfully." Clean hands and a clean heart. So, Brother Jimmy, I can't get to clean hands and a clean heart because I've done some things in my life that my hands are dirty, but I will tell you that you can't wash your hands clean, but there's a man who can, and His name is Jesus. He died on a cross over 2,000 years ago so that we could have salvation. He died so that He could forgive our sins and He could take them away, and His blood would go over the post of our life the doorpost. And whenever God sees us, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for me and for you. So we need to prepare our hearts for His presence. When we are saved, it should change us. We should desire to be different. It tells us in Jeremiah, you know, that He will change this heart of stone that cannot be penetrated to a heart of flesh that can be penetrated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we can be different than who we once were in this world. So when we have an encounter with God, it should make us different. It should prepare our hearts to be in His presence. We will no longer have, you know, these dirty hands or this filthy heart, because He washed this black heart that we had as white as snow through the red blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't think y'all getting it, because y'all sitting there like a bunch of turtles on a log or a bunch of knots on a tree. I don't hear nothing. Man, do you know that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He died for you, that He gave His life for you? Are we preparing our hearts for His presence? Or do we even care that God saved us? Well, I got my fire insurance, so I'm good now. If that's your attitude, you bought from the wrong company. You better go find a reliable company. And the owner of that company is Jesus Christ, because He will give you what you need. And you will no longer have that type of attitude in your life that's saying, oh, I'm good, I'm good. All I have to do is just say a prayer and, you know, and I'm good for the rest of my life. It's not about just saying a prayer. It's about living for Christ. And we have dumbed it down so much within our society and the church that they think that's all you have to do is easy believism, easy Christianity, that you don't have to do anything after you get saved. If you truly get saved, God's going to do something in your life, and it's going to change your heart, and you're going to desire to be in His presence. So are we preparing our hearts this morning for Jesus? He's inviting us to have an encounter with Him. There's an impact within the encounter of God. You know, transformation of our lives. Man, we have been transformed. In verse 5 it says, He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. Woo! Man, He shall receive. He shall be transformed. We shall be transformed in our lives, that we shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. He has clothed me in righteousness. It is not my own righteousness. It is God's righteousness that is upon me today. So I don't look at you, you know, myself being, well, look at me. I'm greater than thou. I ain't nothing. But God is everything. So we have to look to Him, and we have to thank Him each and every day for that transformation in our lives. And I would ask you, have you been transformed? Have you been changed? Does your life look different than it did before you were saved? Are you different? So many people look the same after as they did before. And that concerns me. That burdens my heart to see that they just take God's salvation, His mercy and grace, and just throw it in the trash. Because you know what it costs God for you to be saved? It cost Him His Son to be beaten on a cross, to be hung there, to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to have a crown of thorn put upon his head. That's what it cost. And it tells us in the Gospels that Jesus could have called for a legion of angels at any time to come take him away. But he didn't. Why? Because he had a job to finish. And that was the sacrifice for my sins and for your sins and the sins of the whole world. So that should transform us in our lives. We should have a renewed perspective on worship. Says, this is Jacob in verse 6, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Worshiping God, seeking him. As I said last night at church camp, you know, we sat there and we worshiped the Lord with Brother Nick leading in worship, and you know, and that's all great, but don't think you can show up on Sunday morning and worship the Lord when you hadn't talked to him all week. Just don't work that way. That's another one of them easy believisms. Hey, I did my part today. I came to church. I took out of my busy schedule to come to be at church and to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to grow in him. But I'll see you next week, Lord. We need to have a renewed perspective on worship. We need to have an empowerment to live righteously within our lives. In verse 7, it says, lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Lift up your head. Man, empowerment to live righteously. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to him, y'all listening? If you belong to Christ, you have everything you need to live a life of righteousness. Now it's up to us. Because we do have a free will. Sometimes I wish we didn't. Sometimes I wish the Lord just tell me what to do and I had to do it. But that does not, in our life, cause us to love him freely. God wants us to love him freely. He don't want to make us love him. He wants it because if he makes us to love him, is that really love? He wants us to freely give of ourselves to him. He empowers us. We have that empowerment to live righteously within our lives. And that's his desire for us. And that's what I want us to do in our lives. And then we have a response to encounter God. We need to open ourselves to his glory. We need to open our hearts to receive what God has for us. In verse 8, it says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. We have this explanation here that who is this King of glory? We need to open ourselves up to receive him because he is the Lord that is strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle, because we're going to go through battles. Do we want to come victorious on the other side? We need the Lord to do that. And that's hard sometimes because the outcome is not what we think it should be sometimes. And sometimes it is. But sometimes it's not the outcome that we think about. And we look at it and say, well, it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to turn out because it didn't turn out the way I thought it would turn out. And God says different. He says, I know more than what you know. Because he knows the big picture. We look at the small things. We have that vision that is right here in front of us. But we always like to say hindsight is what? 2020, isn't it? We can always look back and say, oh, God, why didn't I trust you more, God? I knew that you were able. And we can see, we can look back and we can see what God has brought us through. And then we can look forward, and it should give us more faith in our life to trust Him in the future. Because we've seen what He's pulled us through in the past. We need to be embracing His kingship, His control over our life. In verse 9 it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Embracing His kingship, His authority over us. I'm no longer in control. God is. I'm no longer the one who makes the decisions. God is. I just follow what God tells me to do. Or that's what I should do. But sometimes we have times in our life where we make mistakes, where we fall short, where we don't hit the mark, we miss that mark. And we can come to Him and we can say, God, forgive me. And I love where it says in 1 John 1:9, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But repent of our sins does not mean that we are sorry, we got caught, or we're going to just jump right back into it after we say amen. It means that we are truly sorrowful that we have sinned against an almighty God. And last, but certainly not least, we need to commit to follow Him daily. In verse 10, it says, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So we, in our lives, we should commit ourselves to follow Him on a daily basis. Not just on Sundays. Or, well, we might throw a Wednesday in there every once in a while. It's not about how we come and say, well, you know, it's orchestrated in God's Word that we are to have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We are to have church with God each and every day of our lives. And we don't have to be here in order to have church with the Lord. We've set aside, or He has set aside, a time for us to come and to worship Him together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, and that should be the icing on the cake. That should be the time that we get to come and rejoice and we get to grow together with each other because He has made us for family. He has made us to be together with Him and with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I desire for that for us today, that we would have an encounter with God and that encounter would change us. So if you had an encounter with the Lord today, it may be that still small voice inside, you know, that He is calling you. It may have been in one of the songs that we sang. It may be in one of the scriptures that I read. You know, I don't know what it is, but as God had, or you've had an encounter with God and God has spoke to your heart. And He has asked you to surrender all to Him and to come and follow after Him. As we stand this morning, we will have a song and a time of invitation where God is inviting you to come. You do not have to come to me. You can come to His altar. You can lay down at His altar and you can thank Him for all that He has done for you. You can do it right where you're at, just depending upon what the Lord has called you to do this morning. So be with the Lord, or ask the Lord to be with you this morning. Lord, we just thank You so much for all that You have given us, Lord. for this time that we have had this morning, Lord, through time of worship with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and time of your word. Lord, just give us, Lord, a transformed heart this morning, that you would just work in our lives and do mighty things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.